He said, when you have this ability to be aware, mindful, I just finished this off. This extraordinary mind, which is just observing without the observer, just aware, can understand things, can bring about great order. Then he said, it's not only when you are conscious in your waking moment. You can even have this same state of awareness while you go to sleep. Because in the daily life, you have established order through this ability to be aware throughout the day, moment to moment, or everything that goes on. So there is no confusion. There is no disorder within the mind. And you don't dream. Then you can be in that state, even in the sleeping state. That is meditation. You say, I don't think you all can understand, but not important. Then you know what you say? One day, there will be one or two or a few who will understand it. Well, the moment you say that, I rejoice. I say, oh. He already passed away. You know. I think he passed away in the 80s. He was near 200 years old. See? People who gone through, they know. And he know, you know. At that time, I think nobody understand it. He said, not important. Later, he said, there will be a few who may understand him. And to him, it's now. What he wants is to leave behind this understanding. See? And this is real meditation, isn't it? And when you have this ability, is it? Don't be greedy, is it? You can experience it for 2 minutes, it's good enough, is it? Don't try to be attentive, mindful, continuously. Don't try to be in that state for an hour or two and want it repeated. That is memory, that is thought, that is craving, that is desire. The pursuit of desire is thought-based. It's a movement of thought. You cannot find that which is beyond thought. Understand? That's why I don't do and do all this funny thing, is it? Then he said, even that 2 minutes after you have gone through and you come out, you will understood everything. And you will know what life is. You will know who you are, what you are, and what this beautiful, attentive mind that observe is all about. There is no longer delusion. Meant to be. Oh, 你刚进来是吗? 最重要是后面几个minute. Oh, thank you, thank you. Oh, 你快啊, 你放到我都不知道, 我看到你跟N进来罢了, 然后后来我又 想着要 continue what I share with them, which was very important. This last part is very good. So meditation is about understanding. That's it. The moment you understand, it becomes so beautiful. Then the beauty of it will manifest. Then you will know what life is. You will know how to live. Then he even asked the question, no. There is only very few, is it, in this world who can understand this and have this ability to live life so meaningfully and so beautifully. Yeah. But people are only interested in meditation. They are not interested in observing, finding out, realizing the truth. They are more interested in what people tell them, promise them. They are gullible, is it? He even talked about people paying how many thousand pounds or euro to learn meditation. It's like a system, method that establishes itself. Then he said, if mankind is not careful, you know what will happen? He said, computer will take over and create a new religion and teach you how to meditate. And you become equally gullible, believing that computer. Yeah, that computer is emotionless. He can come up with fantastic meditation technique, method, and system. even auto-suggestion and make you go into deep trance state. I don't know why he don't like this word TM, Transcendental Meditation. He said Transcendental Meditation is a very good word, he said, fantastic, Transcendental. But the way they teach Transcendental Meditation, it's just really shocking. That is not Transcendental Meditation, that is auto-suggestion. The thought is fully involved. You are still within the field of thought. You are not transcending anything. Maybe they become more peaceful. They thought that is Transcendental Meditation and all those things. So, meditation is something that you need to really, really investigate through the silent mind, which is beyond thought and beyond mind. It's only through that realization. Then this so-called, he also called it the name and form, no, the form and mind, no? The creature. They call it the creature. Then one of the other quite famous guy also say, he say it's no different from the animal body, is it? Yeah. Or human body, is it? It's just element, physical. He said the only difference is when the consciousness is trapped inside. And this consciousness is different. So it's understanding who you are, what this consciousness is all about. That you can develop the clear understanding of life. Then you can understand that which is beyond life. Otherwise it becomes a theory, a belief, an idea that people tell you. And you can never ever find it. And for it to come into being, is it? The mind has to be extraordinarily quiet. And this is not the quietness that is built up through a system of meditation, concentration or focusing, or constant fighting with the mind, because the mind gets distracted. Then you come up with method, technique and system of meditation to fix the mind, to focus the mind, to concentrate the mind. And thinking that when you do that, you can become peaceful, quiet, you can experience fantastic things. That is all still within the field of thought. And to him, that is not meditation. That's why he said the real meditation is to silent, observe. There is no observer, just aware. And to do that, your mind has to be extraordinarily quiet. And he said that quietness or silence doesn't come from practice. He's not wrong, you know. He said it's through seeing that all these things that you have been taught is the one that make you the lack of peace and not able to become quiet. Where you are using your thought to look for it, to search for it. And that thought is actively creating movement. He called it the movement of thought. All your seeking, your craving, your desire to become enlightened, to become what and what. These are the movement of thought. You are still trapped within the field of thought. But you cannot see what is happening. So he said, to meditate is to have this ability to understand that all these are not bringing you anywhere. These are only what people promise you. But why can't you understand that if I don't do all these things, what will happen to the mind? If the mind is no longer curious, no longer seeking, no longer wanting to become enlightened, no longer following any authority, no longer having any concept of enlightenment or God, or what is being promised, then what happened to the mind? The mind becomes quiet on its own. But there is no need to know, understand? No need to seek. No need to want to become. No need to chase after all this great teacher and all those things. It just listen, understand, then just develop it. And this one, everybody can do, you see, it's not complicated. Why are you making meditation so complicated, you see? And this is what living being cannot understand. Then he said, forgive me, he said. Mm-hmm. Because he understand many are teachers, you see. Teaching. a follower and other things. So he said, if you fail to inquire and understand all this, you are actually wasting your time chasing after, fighting after that heedless thinking mind, that very confused mind, he said. The more you believe all this, the more you go after all this, the further you are from truth. But it doesn't mean you don't try to listen or what. You must listen objectively, means without any concept or idea of what meditation is, so that you don't have views and opinion, is it? When you listen and refer to your views and opinion, what are you doing? You are not listening. You are trying to compare. That's not. Cannot be. The book say this. My teacher say this. Buddha say this. But why you say this? Means there is movement. You are not attentive. You are not aware. You are not observing. That's why he said, choiceless awareness, choiceless observation. Don't judge. Don't comment. Don't compare. Just silent. To listen attentively, then to understand. Then, if it's something that is out of the ordinary, which you never heard before, then you ask yourself, like the Buddha said, you try it, does it harm you? If it does not harm you, what have you got to lose? Give it a try. And it can be just so simple. That's why living being cannot understand. And this question come about where Susan want to ask, why the lying down meditation, which is so relaxed, so easy, and so beautiful, not popularly taught or encouraged? So I explained to her earlier on, I said, because this is against the traditional belief, society's convention of what meditation is. If you say meditate, you don't sit, people say something wrong. If you say lie down, they think of sleeping. How can you lie down and meditate? That is, you want to sleep. And you will sleep because when you lie down, you tend to sleep. So like I explained to him, whatever that is popularly accepted may not be the truth. It's just like the herd instinct in society. I try to repeat this all so that it is recorded. So Jin Hao was with me in the car earlier on when we came back from dinner. He was asking me, he said, "Brother, you are right, is it? Now I start to understand why you say, don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the majority. Because popular belief, you don't want to be like the abnormal one. You want to be like with the popularly accepted one. So that nobody say you are wrong. So that you are with the correct group. But you look at society, the crowd instinct is always the result of other people's opinion, then the rest follow. Even stock market, I explained earlier, the crowd instinct will finally suffer. Because they will lose most of the money. Because when you follow the crowd, you follow the instinct of the crowd. So crowd instinct is what? The common consciousness of humanity, which is greed and fear. So out of greed, everybody chase stock. That's why it go up. As it go up, everybody confident. The belief spread. Then more and more people come in. Oh, stock market doing very well, easy to make money. That's why I told Jin Hao, when everything is so good, you have to be careful. there is no system that can sustain itself with this constant rising market. Means everybody can make money so easily. Then who is coming out with the money? It's a zero-sum theory. So finally, somebody has to suffer. Casualty has to come in. So if you follow the crowd and become gullible, then out of greed you chase, then everybody say, wow. Like last time Taiwan, the Super Bowl, I remember Shen Hong was there. When he was there, everybody come and make offering and pay respect and say, thank you, Master, because you come, the market boom. Then he said, 大家乐, everybody become prosperous. You know, Shen Hong told them what or not? Yeah. Be careful. When you are having this good thing, the reverse will happen, because out of greed you chase. Then when there is panic, out of fear, you do stupid thing, deluded thing, heedless thing. That's why they say panic selling. Initially it's panic buying, pa mai pu tao. When everything is not doing well that time, panic selling, everybody is selling. Then everybody get into trouble. Then you talk about people committing suicide, getting into all that trouble, then the bank after them and all. Then all the sorrowful story come. Wherever there is greed, there is problem. There is coming negativity. That's why all this you can see from the civilization, economic cycle and all those things. So don't follow instinct. Everything you have to do with understanding, research yourself, understand yourself. If it's so easy, then no need to work, understand? Like the pyramid scheme. If you are not greedy, you will not fall for it. But because you are greedy, that's why you get tempted into it. Meditation is the same. If you are gullible, greedy, one shortcut, understand? Like instant noodle. Well, teach me the best way to meditate, the fastest way to become enlightened. If that guy can do that, you think he will teach to you or not? Like those pyramid schemes, he promise you every month 20% or more. If it's such a good investment, you think he got time to introduce to you and try to get you to invest? He himself will load it up, understand or not? But because it's a pyramid scheme, that's why it needs people to believe him. And it needs such story to make people gullible. So meditation is the same. When people start to tell you, wow, this person, what and what and what, you still have to find out yourself. Don't become gullible. Have an open mind. Listen. Then you will know. If it's true, it stand up to investigation. Then you don't become gullible. The main thing is not to fall for all these things. Truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. How come they can see? Because they are heedful. They are aware. They are mindful. That's what the Buddha shared with us. Then are you heedful? Are you mindful? If you are not heedful and mindful, you are gullible, you want to become enlightened, I tell you, you will fall for it and you will get into trouble. That's why I check the key criteria behind all this. So to be successful in investment is the same. You have to be good in it. Otherwise, you will not make it. No amount of all this cost that you pay money can promise you all the skill and the ability to make money. If that system is so good, they don't have to teach you one another. They continue to make money on their own. But because they know, if they do it, finally they also lose money. That's why they create into a cost for you to come and join and show it to you that people who attended the course, they have made so much, so much, so much. Then you become attracted, become gullible. Then sometimes you go to meditation also, they say, oh, so and so, join my retreat. Oh, now he able to levitate, he able to see this, he able to do this. His mind become, then you become gullible, because you don't understand what that thing are. So all this is what life is all about, society is all about. So we have to have this understanding, wisdom, not to be gullible, not to be attracted and drawn into all this through your greed, through your own delusion, through your own stupidity. Okay? Now we start our puja. Sorry for taking up so much time. Okay, we now get ready for puja. After this, I think there will be two Tuesdays. The class will be cancelled because I'm going off to Paris and London for 2 weeks. Okay, we get 6 people quicker. Brother Tim, Pamasuri, Alicia, Mifong. Mifong seldom come. Then and come. Then Queenie, Queenie. 6 of you come. The lighter are there. May. You also come, maybe. 6, Oh, 7 already. Yeah, let your mother do. Then the rest can get ready. Stand. Queenie, there's one more here. Like. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we can start the offering. Start with the tray. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Never mind, this is hot. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 sadhu, do sadhu, 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 do sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will do the puja chanting. Okay, compose the mind. Develop the sadha, the faith, then the virya, then we will mindfully start our puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milafo. Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava, Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panati pata veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. มุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรายามัจจาปะมาทัตถานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิ Now we are chanting Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hinaPujaye pujaniyang tang Puja baca namo temang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kesuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujayai pujam pusumenanena Namatena ca hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Yotatayati vinasabawang Adivase tunobante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutemang Adivase tunobante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutemangAdivase tunobante Bojana parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutemang Okay, we are now chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offeringSignificance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma.That cools and doses off the fires of defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May these offerings of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruitions possible. Then offering of flowers, significance of offering of flowers.May this constant offering of flower to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration.By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Okay, we will now make the salutation to the Triple Jhana. Buddhang pujami, Dhammang pujami, Sanghang pujami. Okay. Now we can be seated. Then we can have our meditation. Today maybe we don't have so much time for you to meditate. Yeah, just now the pre-puja sharing took out extra 15 minutes of our time. Okay, maybe I give you 20 minutes. So we are off the light so that you can meditate. So 20 minutes of silent meditation. Just relax body and mind, then maintain silence. Those who need to train the mind, you can continue to train. Those who already know how to meditate, you can start your meditation straight away. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay. And the page 6, we will do the invocation to the devas. I'll read to you the English translation, and after that, we will chant the Pali. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadang dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahat Sama Sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati tadeva manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Tang Veditabu Vinuhiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Didang Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo
Anjali karaniyo anuterang punya kitang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to Triple Gem. Bedang Pujimi. Damang Pujimi. Sanghang Pujimi. Okay. You can be seated. Then we can continue with our Diamond Sutta. Before we start, we turn to page 1, where we will write, we will recite the verses for opening the sutta. Okay. Verse for opening the sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then turn to page 88. We will continue from there. Okay, for those who has not attended the last Tuesday class, maybe I go through what we have gone through a bit. You look at the whiteboard. Last Tuesday, we were discussing this very important topic about direct seeing. It come about because I think one of the sister, I think Elsie's niece, she was asking me about this word panya, because she read my seminal paper. So I said, you have to develop this panya wisdom, then you will understand life. Then I put the bracket. I said, this wisdom can only come about through the direct seeing. So she was asking, what you mean by direct seeing? So direct seeing is just the pure awareness, the pure perception, without the observer. It's pure observation, like I explained just now. So Krishnamurti also cautioned those who meditate, he said, when you meditate, you are there to investigate and understand, but there is nobody there to investigate. It's just an investigation through an inquiry. To understand what is meditation, and to understand why we meditate, and what is it that we are trying to do to develop this meditation. So according to the Buddha, we understand, finally you need to develop wisdom or panya. We are nothing free the mind except wisdom. The moment you understand, you awaken, your mind is free, no longer deluded. But according to Krishnamurti, he doesn't want to believe anything. He doesn't want to follow any authority. So he prefers to investigate on his own. Assume he doesn't know anything. That's why he starts. But for us, we are more blessed, more lucky, because we already have the teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. So we are not believing the Buddha too. We are just inquiring, investigating into what he has told us. And this investigation is through inquiry. So, wisdom, which is a type of understanding, that can only arise through the silent mind, which is not thinking. So this is called the direct seeing or the direct perception, or just the direct observation of the way things are. That's why I put here, seeing things as they are. That's why the direct seeing. But most human beings' problem is, you don't see things as they are. That's why the Buddha said, you always see things with a conditioned mind. A mind that is full of conditioning, full of belief systems, full of your views and opinion of what things are. You are observing from knowledge, what you have been told, what you have learned, what you have been conditioned into, even your own religious belief system, your own tradition, through your culture, your race, your whatever conditioning and belief system that you hold on to. So if you see things according to your memory, according to your conditioning, then you are not seeing things at all. Because you are seeing from the past, from your knowledge, from your conditioning. Means you already interpret what you want to interpret. Because you use memory, you use your conditioning as a means of understanding. And there is no understanding at all. Where this is from? Memory, knowledge. Whereas the direct seeing is, you are not using memory. You are not referring to anything, any authority or any teaching. You assume you don't know anything. You just observe to understand the truth, the reality, to understand what is going on. That is direct seeing. The direct observation or perception of the truth. Seeing things as they are. Not what your mind is trying to tell you through your conditioning, your memory, your belief system and all those things. That's why after that you will know how to act based on this wisdom. You act according to this wisdom and understanding. That is what life is all about. Otherwise, you will continue to use memory. That's why Krishnamurti said acting according to memory is not acting at all. Why? Because our memory is full of... Oh, sorry, this spelling is wrong. Scars of memory without the ear. Like when you are wounded, you have a scar. So those who saw the WhatsApp photo, Alicia, the hand here got a scar, a very small one. So these kinds of memories are what you have accumulated or stored in your memory. They are your fear, your misery, your whatever, sorrow, lamentation, and grief, your unhappiness, then your phobia. Phobia can be in the form of what they call mental fear, or mental insecurity. Just give me a minute. Then all your other negative emotions, like your envy, jealousy, hatred, anger, deceitfulness, cunningness, and all those things. Then there is also this, what they call seeking, the mind that is seeking security, seeking to become something, seeking to own something, to possess something. So these are all part of seeking, becoming. Then our thought is respond to memory. That's why these are the mind states that arise within the content of consciousness. As you go through life, you experience all of the ups and downs of life. Then you accumulate them all through memory. And these are psychological memory. These are not technical memory or things that you need to remember for technical remembrance so that you know where you live. You know how you sign your signature on the checkbook and your saving account, how to draw the money. Then you can remember where you stay, where are your schools and all those things. Then technical knowledge, as you go to school, you can remember formulas and all those things. Then you can learn all the technical knowledge and detail. Then you can progress in science, technology, and other field of education or study. All this is what you have accumulated. Even your good memories, the good time, the happy time, the good moments. But as long as you accumulate, this is your memory bank. This is your conditioning. This will mold and make you what you are, your entity. From here, your belief system, everything come. You think you are so and so because you have been given a name when you are born. You go to school, then with the education, you come out, you become a professional or whatever that your career gave you. Then after that, you experience life, you step into life. Then you encounter all of the realities of life and existence. Then you experience them. Then you experience suffering. That's why this kind of memory overcome. Of course, there are also moments of joy, happiness, when things go your way, success and all those things. But all this will condition you, will make you what you are based on all this. So since you are born until now, you have all this in your memory bank. So if you meditate using this, you will be using thought. Well, this will create response to memory. So thought arise because respond to all this memory that you accumulated. Can you just allow them to be and don't cling, don't hold? Forget about all this. Make your mind fresh. Without all this memory and content, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's in the memory, like the computer. When you need it, only you retrieve it. And some of these psychological scars of memory, you don't have to remember. Why do you want to remember? If you try to remember, means you actually attach and cling and hold because you went through phobia, fear. You went through that sadness, that sorrow, the lamentation. Then you hold on to it. That's what attachment is all about. That's what accumulation is all about. So this is what the Buddha meant by the second noble truth. The cause of suffering is due to your attachment, craving, clinging to your aggregates of form and mind. This is attachment to perception, the thing that you perceive. Attachment to memory that you carry through your sankhara, your views, your opinion. Then the content of consciousness. Then all the various mind states. When you attach to all the good and bad mind state, what happens is, for the good one, you have craving, positive craving. You want it repeated. Then you want that joy to be repeated. Whereas the painful one, the sorrowful one, that brings about negativity of emotion, negative craving, you want to push it away. You don't want it to rise again. So man is in constant conflict with all this that you hold. That's why you cannot meditate. You cannot understand. To meditate is to forget about all this, like the computer. That's why it is without emotion. It can analyze things very fast. It can understand things very fast. Yeah, it don't have this to disturb them, to condition them. Computer is, you key in the data, you define the data, they will accept your instruction. Then from there, they will process, they will act. Then if they need information, they retrieve. That's why they are non-emotional. But human being cannot, because the consciousness that is trapped inside is capable of holding on to all this. So when you come to meditation or living life, it's the same. If you were to live life through all this accumulation, means you act according to memory, you are not acting at all. Your memory is full of your evil roots of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, born of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, attachment, clinging, craving, grasping, becoming, sensual craving, craving to be, craving not to be. So all this is part of the whole mass of craving, which is your content of consciousness. With this content you live, you will have suffering, because cause of suffering is craving. So because of that, the Buddha said we must train our mind to be mindful, to be heedful, to be aware. This is what the pure seeing, the direct seeing is all about. And Krishnamurti call it the observation without the observer. He said, just aware. Don't try to know. Don't try to react or make a choice or interfere with what you have observed. Don't interpret. Don't chatter. Don't judge. Don't preempt. Don't pre-conclude and all those things. You just observe. Just to see the truth, the reality of the moment. That's like seeing things as they are, not according to what your brain or your memory tell you. And this one will awaken you to the truth, which is the characteristics of nature, impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. And without sati, you cannot be aware. Without sati, you cannot be mindful. You cannot have this silent mind to see things as they are. You cannot meditate. So sati leading to samadhi, which is the collectedness of mind and the unwavering mind. So when you have this spiritual faculty together with the sadha and virya, your mind is very calm, very composed. It will understand spiritual teaching because this is a spiritual faculty. Then you can see things as they are. Then you can understand truth clearly. Then you can straighten your view. Then as you straighten your view, you are not deluded by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Means the phenomenal world loses its power to influence you, to condition you, to make you deluded. So through this understanding and straightening of the view, you have less delusion. Then the first two links, avijja, paccaya, sankhara, weaken. That's why you don't think so much. You don't react anymore. You don't stir your mind anymore. You don't do things like before anymore. Then you can understand them for what they are. You have right view. You have right understanding. Things is just the way they are. Conditions like that, things will be like that. So a lot of this movement of thought, which is all your thinking, your reaction, your judgment, your chattering within your mundane mind, your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, especially delusion, that continue to stir and react and create all this insanity within your content of consciousness. And this is what karma is all about. When you have this evil root, root of all evil, your content of consciousness support karmic becoming. All these are evil roots, root of all evil, make you evil, your karma will fall. You will continue to come back. You will continue to take birth. Because these are the consciousness of karma. That's why he said you will fall back into the stream, the karmic stream. And you will be part of that eternal karmic stream, samsara. You cannot step out of it. You cannot liberate your mind. Unless you develop the direct seeing. So all this is what we discussed last Tuesday. Huh? So with this, I will continue our discussion. Then after that, maybe it can help you understand the Diamond Sutta better. Okay. Now turn to page 88. Ken, yes.
I tried to recall what you are saying earlier. So just now before the puja, so we are talking about one of the things that we are talking about is that the reason why human cannot meditate is because the mind try to seek what is being taught, right? So, and these are conditions, correct? And like our scars of memories are also the conditions that we have, right?
Yeah.
So, when we are talking about like, for example, like fears or phobias or sorrow or lamentation, there are things that we can recall. But there are also things that we cannot recall. For example, maybe in our subconscious mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So, for example, like many years ago, about 10 years ago, I was met with an accident. I was being snatched.
After
that incident, actually, I lost memory of the entire incident.
Yeah.
Even until today, I cannot recall.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still remember the first 6 months or so, right?
Yeah.
Every time when there's a motorbike that went past me, I would actually naturally react.
Got fear.
I have fear. Right? But I didn't think about it.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
So, but the fear is there.
Yeah.
Correct? So how, similarly, right, when we are, say, meditating or when we are actually going through daily life, there may be fears like that we don't think about, but it's actually
there. Okay, I answer that one first. You say you don't think about. Actually, it's the hidden subconscious fear. You actually accumulated it. Understand not? You accumulated it, but because it's so long ago, 10 years ago, you forgot. But when there is condition, it will arise. That's why these are called latent tendency, anusaya. Without condition, it doesn't arise. And Eckhart Tolle called it the pain body. When the pain body is dormant, he said, dormant means no condition for it to trigger off pain, understand? Trigger off fear, worry, anxiety, or sorrow, lamentation, and recall all those phobia. This is what create suffering. He call it pain. Understand? So when it's dormant, means not active, like what happened to you. You say you don't think. Of course you don't think. Because these are accumulated phobia in the subconscious. But when there is condition, it will trigger off. That's why when you meditate, it's the same. Fear of the unknown. Because our brain is so conditioned. You know, condition to respond to what? Of the known. Whatever there is the unknown, there is fear. There's like somebody meditate until no thought. They panic. They say, am I dead? They come out of it. Many meditators told me that. Especially in retreat. Why? Because they live with a conditioned mind that is within the memory world. That is within the field of known. Whatever that is not inside the memory is the unknown. Then there is this fear. Why? Because of superstition. Because of wrong belief. You think you only exist when there is memory of the known. When there is no thought you die. That's why when there is no thought, there is intense fear. That's why people just come out of it. They dare not meditate further. Then sometimes they cannot feel themselves. If they go and ask somebody who don't understand, then that person tell him, you are not supposed to do that. Then you know what happened? Next time he experienced that, said he will have fear. Because that conditioning went in. Why you want to believe all these people who tell you all those? Why can't you just inquire, explore, and go through all this? Wherever there is fear, there is a movement of thought. You are within the field of thought. Fear is a condition, arising state. And fear is one of the mental hindrances. That's why the Buddha said, you must understand why you are not peaceful, why you cannot meditate. Because this mental hindrance hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And what is fear? Fear trigger of restlessness of mind. Understand? Because it has fear. And this is what hindrance is all about. That's why you are not peaceful anymore. And it hinders you. Why must you allow it to arise? Because of your conditioning. Because of your fear of the unknown, your belief system. Everything you want to check from memory. Everything you want to check from the known, which is knowledge. But meditation is exploring the mind to go beyond memory. To go beyond the thought process. That's why the Buddha said the Dhamma is akaliko. Beyond thought. Beyond mind. So now you understand. Now you know why these are things that are in your memory. But if you don't understand them, it will create suffering and problem for you. It's just like the user of thought, anasana. The thought is respond to all this. If you don't have wisdom, you cannot see how thought, through all this wrong view and accumulation, or what they call conditioning, make you what you are. All of your fear, your worry, energy, all this kinds of memory, even your attachment to the good time, they are all attachment, positive and negative. And what happens when you use the word what? Indulge in them. Yeah? Indulge in them means you keep on wanting to recall this memory. Are you living life? Are you heedful? Are you mindful? Are you with the moment? You are recalling your past. Whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, it's going to trigger of thinking, sankhara. And when you recall, the past condition you. Because you have this conditioning, then it makes you recall all of the good and bad memory. That's why the phobia, your unhappiness, your whatever insecurity or suffering or misery or child abuse that you have been subject to, all the various mental suffering and agony that you have been carrying, why do you have to carry them in your memory, through psychological memory? Because you don't have this teaching. All of sankhara, all of thinking is what? Sabbe sankhara what? They are impermanent. They come and they go. And if you attach, cling, and give meaning, what happened? Sabbe sankhara lead to dukkha, suffering. This is what you're supposed to contemplate. This is what you're supposed to be aware of. Then from there, you wake up, like Krishnamurti said. When I understand that these are the things, the karmic negativity, the content of consciousness that is negative, full of selfishness, full of violence, full of insanity, that is causing humanity all this suffering and misery, then you wake up. Then you realize you cannot be part of this madness, this type of consciousness. You cannot have greed. You cannot have selfishness. You cannot be greedy. You cannot be violent. You cannot be doing all these things. Because this leads not only to suffering for yourself, to the world, to all of humanity. It contributes to that karmic consciousness, that stream of karmic consciousness. And it is going to make civilization worse and worse, worse and worse. Then what you do? If you realize that these are all the wrong way of living, then you have to develop the understanding. I will never, never have fear. I will never, never have selfishness. I will never be violent. I will never kill. Then you realize the precept is what the Buddha has understood and realized through this realization. It is for you not to create all this. You don't kill. You don't have the evil roots. Who kill? Selfish people, violent people, deluded people, emotional people. The people who have funny type of views and opinion, born of their belief system and all those things. That's why you got people who just kill, blast, and create violence in the name of God. in the name of religious belief, in the name of salvation, in the name of for their nation, they fight for their religious belief system. So ideology can lead to a lot of violence, a lot of negativity. So meditation is to be aware of all this that is threatening the world, that is creating so much misery and suffering to yourself and all of humanity. Then when you understand all this through the awareness, through the observation, you tell yourself, I don't want to be part of this madness. Then you will come to know that this form of mind actually was part of this madness. Why? Like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So this form of mind come about because of the law of karma. Understand? That's why Krishnamurti also had the same understanding, but he phrased it differently. He said, our this name and form come from the karmic stream. That's why it has all of the same conditioning and content. That's why this karmic stream, this type of consciousness, they are in the midst of humanity, all living beings, is it? But this is created from that stream, is it? That's why karmically conditioned out. But he never explained this karmically conditioned out for us to use and to live life. But he understands that this one comes from the stream. That's why he said this one can have fear, worry, and you will go through life, you will experience suffering. That's why when you experience suffering, is it, just like what the Buddha said, you have to understand the nature of suffering. That the suffering is to be understood. Then you have to understand the cause behind the arising of suffering, which is your craving, your attachment, your grasping, your clinging, your delusion. All this, the content, are the cause of becoming. So when you start to understand all this, you realize that this is insanity. You cannot live life that way. That's why the Buddha said, you have to follow his advice, avoid all evil to good. Means, step out of the karmic stream, remove all these evil roots to liberate your mind from greed, hatred, and delusion. Then once you are out of this, then like the Buddha said, once you are not deluded, you have the understanding of this, the third noble truth come about. Suffering need not be when you have this understanding, is it? Nibbana in the here and the now can be realized before this form and mind cease or die. Then he even tell you how this can be developed through the fourth noble truth. There is a path, namely Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this, it will lead to the end of all suffering. The first of the Noble Eightfold Path is right view, which is right view in regards to the law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma, the karmic stream. That's why he said, when you understand that each and every living being, just like what the Buddha said, we are all part of the karmic stream, born of the karmic stream. So if you do not have this understanding, when you die without this understanding, when you die, your content of consciousness is still filled with all this greed, hatred, and delusion, which is the content of the karmic stream, then where do you go? Yes, sir, he's not interested in reincarnation, rebirth, and all those things. He said, where do you go? Yeah? We have people asking, after you die, where do you go? What happened? And who died? What died? He said, what is dying also you don't know? Is it so difficult to understand dying? The moment you die, what happened? Huh? What happened? It depends on how you understand death. If you don't understand, you carry all this with you. Where will you go? Yeah? This consciousness will return? Return to where? Huh? Not rebirth samsara. Before that, it will return to the karmic stream, isn't it? But this is the content of consciousness of that karmic stream. That's why he said, all of humanity is one. You are the world is you. You are part of the product of that common stream. If you die with delusion, with the evil roots, with this content of consciousness, with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, means you are part of the karmic consciousness, karmic stream. That's why you will return to that karmic stream. That's why karma will continue. That's why you will take rebirth. That's why it's unending, samsara. But when you understand, when you empty of all this content of consciousness, like my teacher Ajayantra said, you know how to die before you die. Die of all the delusion, the defilements, the greed, the hatred, the envy, the jealousy, all these evil roots. When you have this direct seeing wisdom, when you can understand that all these are sankhara, not real, mind make are they. That's why sabbe sankhara anicchang, the Buddha said, impermanent, they come and they go. Then why you cling, why you hold, why you give meaning, why you keep on arising them? Because of avijja. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. That's why you think a lot, you become heedless. When you don't have avijja, you don't have to think. When you have empty all these, you don't have to hold them. This segment of your life, your name, everything, your memory, scars of memory, or whatever, good or bad, that you hold in this content of consciousness, mold you, make you what you are. And you believe that it's real, that it's you, you will return to the karmic stream. That's why Sotapan, the self-delusion, no more. They're free. They know this is not them. They don't cling, they don't hold. But they know when you cling, you hold, sabbe sankhara, dukkhang, little suffering. And you have seen how this makes you miserable and suffer. Full of all this fury, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, unhappiness. And humanity is fighting and fighting and fighting all this. Your greed, your ambition, your jealousy, your possessiveness, your attachment to your loved one, to whatever you think you own. All this has made the world become what it is. The insanity that humanity has created for themselves. And through observation, awareness, or mindfulness, when you see all this, do you still want to become a part of that insanity, that madness? You ask yourself, what is life? That is not life. That's why to me, the moment I realize that, I cannot be part of that stream. I cannot be selfish. I cannot have fear. I cannot do all those things. Envy, jealousy, all them. No point. But no reality, like the Buddha said. He know you, he know me. These are karmic consciousness created through karma. The form and mind is not me. But it's a vehicle and a tool that come. Then he said, when you have this understanding through your direct seeing or observation, he called it, the pure observation or perception, you awaken, you see. You are not deceived. You don't want to be part of that madness, that insanity. That's why you cannot kill, you cannot harm, you cannot deceive, you cannot arise all this anymore. This is no longer part of your understanding. Your understanding is you will investigate deep into it to understand, is there another aspect of mind that can be used to develop the understanding of all this and allow you to understand life clearly so that you can live life differently. Without all these evil roots, you become even more beautiful. Then everything about this law of karma cannot affect you anymore. That's why you reap what you sow. Your virtue will bring forth the causes and conditions for wholesomeness, for goodness to arise. When you are kind to people, good to people, he realizes the fruition of it come back. Whatever action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. That's why we call it the moral causation, law of karma. You reap what you sow. Then you can use this understanding to transform yourself, to live life differently. to have the silent mind, not to be involved in all this insanity, so that your content of consciousness is different, so that it can arise all the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action, to live the life of a noble one, to be beautiful, so that all this cease to be, so that you can learn to decondition all this, so that you are not conditioned by the conditioned mind, which is the old mind. You live a life of awareness, to observe, understand, and to look, to live, to move. That's why when you don't have any more of this delusion and insanity, you become beautiful. Then you can step out of the karmic consciousness. Then your content become beautiful. Then you empty all this. Means you don't accumulate all this anymore. You only act according to wisdom, understanding. At the moment of acting, it's most beautiful. But when you act, you don't have this conditioning field. You act based on intelligence. Condition like that, things will be like that. Then you are at peace. You no longer like before, fearful, worry, because you project your thought into the future. Then fear arise, but not a reality. Recall the unhappy past, scars of memory, then you are conditioned into that negativity again, because thought is response to memory. Then you get yourself entangled with the past and the future. Then you are never with the moment to live life, to be aware, to be peaceful, to observe, to understand, to develop wisdom, and to truly understand life and live life. Now you can link on it. This is what you have to penetrate through observation, through the silent mind. Well, when I know these are causing me heedlessness, all this content leads to restlessness of mind, doubt, sensual desire, ill will. That's like the five mental hindrances. Then when I don't have that spiritual faculty, I can become affected, because these are mental hindrances. Then this mind can become dull, sleepy, not fresh, not sensitive, because it's not aware, it's not attentive, it's full of thought. And what is thought? Thought is a movement in time. Thought produces all this misery through past and future projection, not a reality. Deceive you to grasp, cling, and hold, and condition your suffering and misery. If you cannot see all this with mindfulness and awareness through the direct perception, if you go and believe all this theory that people tell you, then you are caught in knowledge, caught in time. You cannot come out of it. But you will keep on reasoning. Oh, they say, law, karma, like that, like that. Keep on using thought to analyze. You cannot understand. But if you're silent, assume you don't know anything, without thought, who are you? Without thought, who are you? When the personality, the identifying with this form and mind cease, without thought, what is thought? Fine aggregate of form and mind, mental aspect, correct not? Without thought, who are you? When you don't exist, there is no greed, no hatred, no fear. But there's no one inside there to carry all this content. Can you understand? So without thought, you are beautiful. That's why meditation is about silence. Not to create that center, which is the ego, which is the source of greed, hatred, and delusion, that condition your fear, your phobia. Well, when the entity arises, the I, the me, arise, the division arise, you separate from others, then this follower try to be possessive, try to own. Can see that, right? That's how selfishness, that's how greed arise, lust, covetousness, craving arise, where you think you exist, you're real. That's why the personality, the ego, is the source of self-delusion. That is the one that attach, that cling, that grabs, that arise the evil roots. Yeah, from that personality, it can also have fear, worry, anxiety, emotion, sorrow, lamentation. But if there is no such center, if there is no thought, well, all this fear, worry, anxiety, or anger, or hatred, or envy and jealousy, what are they? They are mental state, isn't it? Condition arising, isn't it? Not you, isn't it? Like what the Buddha said. So without thought, all this cease. That's why meditation is to develop this silent mind that is without thought. To understand that without all this, you are the most beautiful. You are the eternal life. You are the sacred, eternal entity that cannot be touched or defiled by thought. You are not put together by thought. Now you can understand. This is what enlightenment is all about. The realization of the state that is beyond thought, beyond time. That's why it's akaliko. The Dhamma is akaliko. Beyond thought, beyond time. Okay? Does that answer your question? Good. Any more questions?
Yes. So if I can ask,
yes,
knowledge-wise,
yes,
right, I understand.
Yeah.
So, but the natural tendency is that when I meditate, right, the natural tendency is that I'm trying to know,
yeah.
Right? I'm trying to know.
That's why you probe, you inquire, who is that guy trying to meditate? Trying to know. Who is the one that is telling you all these things? The thought, isn't it? Obviously, it's the thought. And how does a thought has this type of knowledge? How? Not only memory, conditioning. People tell you, you read book, you hear from people, understand or not? And this is what you are armed with. And you come with this, you meditate. You ask yourself, how can you be free from memory and thought? Because from this system of meditation that people teach you, or the religion that teach you, you try to search. And who is searching? The thought is searching. And the instrument that you are using to search is below what you want to realize. Understand? So how can you search? That's why Krishnamurti asked a very good question. There's one book he wrote during the early day, Problems of the Young. You know. He said, we are all searching. Searching for what? Searching for the truth. Searching for enlightenment. True or not? Searching for God. Searching for salvation. This one you can relate, isn't it? Humanity is searching. Everybody is searching. And that he said, there are thousands of God. The Hindu, they got their God, countless. The Christian got their God. The various other religion has their God. Then what is truth? What is God? What is salvation? What is nirvana? What is enlightenment? People never find out, never inquire. But the mind want to search. Then he said, there's a lot of word being used. That enlightenment is what and what and what. Yeah. But these are words. Nobody understands. So he asked this very important question. What happens if the seeker is the sick? You can understand that? Yeah? The seeker is the sick. The one who seeks enlightenment. Because your Buddha nature, your true nature, is already there. And you are seeking through the thought, no? Created by that nature, no? Condition arising from there, no? The five aggregate of form and mind, which is our thought. That's why it's the byproduct of that true nature. And you are searching for yourself inside, you know. And you search outside, you know. I ask you a very simple question. Can you find? You sure cannot find. Your thought is what? Thought is consciousness, sankhara. And you are searching with this instrument which is within the field of the known, which is knowledge, which is the egoic mind. That's why you have to silence all this. Then, when this one is silent, that nature shines forth. That's why you connect back. That's what meditation is all about. Silent. No thought. That's why I understand this and wake up. As long as thought is active, I cannot realize the state that is beyond thought. And what has thought created? The insanity in this world. Through your wrong view, through your delusion. This content of consciousness comes from the evil root. These are the karmic consciousness. This is what humanity has been facing. And you are part of humanity. And you also have a lot of this. Your fear, your selfishness, and all things before you understand this teaching. Even after you understand, before you awaken, you still carry this consciousness. You still have fear, phobia, selfishness, envy, jealousy, insecurity. You still carry your memory. You still believe you have loved ones and all those things. Then at the moment of death, what happened? You carry this karmic consciousness, karmic stream. Where will you go? You will definitely return to the karmic stream because you are part of that stream. That's why you come back to karma. Now you understand? Huh? I think this way of explaining is easier to understand, less abstract. You know, last time, when a law of karma like a separate entity, you know, karmic nature, you know, somewhere hidden there. Now, he tells you all of humanity's consciousness, living beings' consciousness, they belong to this karmic stream. You know. From there, you come. You know. That's why I always tell you all, even as a bodhisattva or what, when you want to come back to this existential world, you need a form and mind conditioned by karma. That's why it has to come from the karmic stream. Then you have to meditate to realize, connect back. Then with the wisdom, you step out of it. Means with the wisdom, this form and mind is no longer deluded by this phenomenal world. That's why it is not deluded anymore. It cannot deceive it into suffering. It cannot cause any delusion in this form and mind. And then you can say this form and mind is enlightened. No more suffering. But this fellow is not you. Understand? This is karmically conditioned out vehicle and tool for you to use to live life. This I learned to use. This I thought is a tool for you to use. Without wisdom, you will arise wrong thought. You will arise the karmic consciousness. That's why you have to develop the wisdom born of the direct seeing to awaken. Then you will constantly arise the right thought. Then you are not part of the karmic stream. Then you don't contribute to the negativity. Then you have to purify, reduce. Then when you share this understanding, what happens? The individual that have this ability to grasp, to understand like you all, you will have less greed, less hatred, less delusion. Then your life find more and more order. Then you are less heedless. You are more mindful. You are less insane. Understand? Then you slowly, slowly contribute to the positive effect of the karmic stream. Then later on, through following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, you reduce your karmic negativity. You have more and more wholesomeness. Then your karmic nature becomes beautiful. Understand? So that life after life, when this karmic consciousness conditions the form and mind for you to come, you are born of it, had to it, conditioned and supported by it. You are what you are because of it. You become more beautiful, more conducive. Then as you evolve, you only need to develop the third advice to purify your mind, to realize all this, and to walk out of it. Then you don't have to come back to the karmic stream. That's why, like my teacher Ajahn said, you know how to die before you die. Die of all this defilement, not be deluded by it. Then what happened? You don't have to come back because your consciousness is out of the karmic stream. It's no longer part of the karmic stream. No more delusion. Like the Arahant, no more avijja, cannot have rebirth consciousness because no more delusion, no more evil root. That's how it come out of the karmic consciousness. But come out of the karmic consciousness doesn't mean you are real. Understand? Because this form of mind once gone, then what happened to you? the mind that realizes itself without negativity just cease. Like the Buddha said, Nibbana, cease. Because it does not fall back to the karmic stream. There is no more rebirth for you. There's a birth and death of the segmented life. Cease, no more. But when that arahant is still around, the birth and death of the thought process, the outflow, every moment of birth and death of thought is still there, unless the mundane mind collapses. That's why they say, when you are alive, as an arahant, if the thought is still there, the mundane mind is still there, then there is the nibbana with residue. Whereas the one that has gone beyond, where the mundane mind collapses, that is without residue. That one, the nature shines for, very clear and very different. That's why I say in this world, there is very, very few, very rare of this type of being that can understand all this and step out with that mind to live life, to become so beautiful. And it's very rare. That's why it's not easy. Like Susan asked me during dinner time, Brother Teo, how come so few people understand all this? It's because this is not easy to understand. Okay? Any more questions? That's why that is another one. Last time, if I immediately answer that one, you will run away. But now I think it's the time to explain all this. You know why Krishnamurti asked the Buddhists or not, and the monk? Is this mindfulness or awareness something that you have to practice? Definitely no. Why? You must understand why. Who practice? The thought want to practice. And practice what? Mindfulness, awareness. Because they don't understand what this is. That's why they think through practice they will become aware. Through practice, one day they will become enlightened. But it's not like that. Krishnamurti said, because enlightenment is not about time. Time is thought, psychological time. When you are within the field of thought, you cannot awaken. Enlightenment is here and now, immediately. So he said, what kind of foolishness is this? You have to practice to be aware. You have to practice to become enlightened. You know what he told them or not? Who is practicing? Who is meditating? Who is focusing? Who is concentrating? Who is wanting to be enlightened? Who is seeking inside there? Who is the meditator? That's why he said the problem with meditation is the meditator. You never find out who is the meditator, and you keep on allowing the thought to deceive you. That's why you are still within the field of thought, trapped. He said you have to observe and understand that all this leads to nowhere. It's just experience. Meditation is not about experience. That's why all the fantastic meditation, no point. I say it's a conditioned state because it's still within the field of thought. You feel very calm, very peaceful, very concentrated, full of energy, capable of doing all the funny things. Then you sit in metta, you know. So what? That is not wisdom. That is not going to free you. Understand? That is still within the field of thought. So he said, when you start to understand that all this is not going to help you, through just observation, as long as the mind is active, you cannot be silent. You cannot go beyond mind. You cannot realize that which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So what must you do? What must you do? How can you silence the mind? That is practice again. Understand? That is trying to do something to make it quiet. That's why they go and focus and concentrate. When you realize all this is not helping you, what must you do? Don't go and practice all this anymore. What did I tell you? Relax, aware. Can't you just relax and aware? The moment you know all this is stupid, like the Buddha said, if the mental hindrances are there, you will become heedless. You will think a lot. you will have all this problem. So what's wrong with all this problem? Let it arise. Then you observe. Then you realize this arise because you accumulate. Understand? Then what must you do? Don't go and hold on to all this. Understand? Don't go and get excited over all this or become miserable and fearful over all this. That's why you must not be gullible anymore. You must not have fear. You must not have greed. You must not have craving for all this. You understand them for what they are. And they are the one that cause you so much suffering and misery, and yet you want to hold on to them, cling on to them. So what is meditation? When you know that all these are hindrances that make you this way miserable, you must develop clear understanding that I don't want to practice all this anymore. I don't want to be heedless anymore. Then I develop my own understanding. Yeah. But of course, he never teach you how to develop the spiritual faculty, which the Buddha teach you. And I prefer to use that. Understand? Because we are not accepting what the Buddha say. If I have this faith, I am more calm, more composed. If I have the virya, it will stir me to strive on, to investigate, to understand. But to investigate, I must have sati. I must have awareness. I must have this ability to observe without conditioning, without this content disturbing me. So can I meditate with this understanding? Means I relax, aware, and I don't want to allow this to come in. If the content or consciousness, the conditioning, the views, the opinion don't come in, means what? I don't have any idea of meditation. I don't have to note. I don't have to practice awareness. I don't have to do all this foolish thing. Then what happens if I don't do? This conditioning becomes less and less. Correct or not? All this fear, worry, anxiety, and all this kinds of memory, because they are sankhara, leading nowhere, leading to suffering. Then why I want to think? Why I want to give meaning? Grabs. That's why the mind will slowly, slowly disengage through this understanding. Then when you are not doing, the thought is not active. That's why the mind sweeping method. Feel, relax, you become calm, peaceful on your own. Understand? Then sati set in. Without thought, the moment you are without thought, interfering, you are already aware. Who practice? The fellow who is not peaceful practice, understand? Who is not able to be mindful practice, where they create system of meditation that make the thought active. There is a meditator meditating, seeking, looking, noting, focusing, concentrating, creating all the funny things, struggling with the thought, fighting, endless fighting to subdue the flow. Why have you got to do all this thing? This arises because of delusion. This arises because of the mental hindrance. The moment you understand, like I say, you already awaken. It ceases to have power over you. So if you don't do all this, then what happened? Krishnamurti said, this mind will slow down, settle down. Then it will become extraordinarily quiet, still. Why? Because you are not stirring it with your views, your opinion, or right and wrong. You are not inside there trying to meditate. Is this sati? Am I doing it correctly? Is that what jnana? What jnana? There is the thought, understand? From your knowledge, from your conditioning. That's why you create all this without knowing that it will prevent you from realizing your silent mind, your silent nature, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So when you don't do all this, when you have faith in your own investigative observation, then you realize all this lead me nowhere. I'm not interested in it. Then you can say, what did Pratyo say? Relax. Can I just relax? Aware? Did I think? Did you think? Relax and aware, did you think? You don't think in that. Can, no problem.
So when I do mind sweeping method, right? So I say feel the forehead, then sweep through my eyes, my chin, right?
You are using thought to sweep.
Yeah.
Why are you using thought to sweep? I already say, wait. You listen, eh? Listen, eh? You gotta read the blue book again, eh? I say feel. Don't think. Did I say this word, don't think? Then, what are you doing? What are you doing? Using your mind to sweep. Means what? You have to be at the location you want it to be, correct or not? That's why I say, maintain attention at the forehead. What is that? I didn't ask you to use the thought to go to your forehead, no. And use the thought to feel, no. That is thinking, understand? No? That is cultivating feeling. Ayo, cultivating mindfulness. The one that want to be mindful is an effort involved, no? The thought want to be mindful. So you are cultivating mindfulness. That means the thought is actively doing that, no? So how can you feel? Feel means attentive, aware, silent. Then feel. Hot and cold also don't know how to feel. Huh? Relax or not relax. Any tension, any tightness, any stress within, feel, then relax. The first support, relax. After it's relaxed, what happened? No thought, isn't it? But initially you cannot, because the mental hindrance is there. That's why you maintain the feeling. Don't think, feel. Your feeling is very close to your nature. If you feel and don't allow it to be craving, emotion, then that feeling is pure feeling, very near your awareness. That's how. But the trouble is when you feel, you think, got thought or not, got tension or not, got stress or not. Brother Teo say, got any tension, any tightness, any stress, relax. Again, you use the word, the concept to relax. So. That's why you can never do it, because the thought is active. You are no different from the Vipassana fellow, nothing here and there. You just feel, so easy, feel, relax. Then let it sweep down. Sweep down is not the mind sweep down, no, the awareness sweep down, understand? No? The awareness feel, aware, relax. Then you need to visualize, because otherwise you are so used to thought, you don't visualize, you cannot be peaceful. You cannot develop metta. That's why you have to visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile. When you smile, you feel that you are relaxed. But that one condition your happy feeling. That's why inner peace leading to inner well-being. So this is the first training. Just mind sweeping method. Then you will become more peaceful. But you realize when you don't think, you decondition your heedless thinking, you become more peaceful, more calm. You are more towards your awareness now. But thoughts still there, understand not? That's why the meditator all use a skillful means to anchor the awareness, then to fix it, or to stabilize it. You can do that, but that is thought-based. That's why I say, people who got no other way, because the mental hindrances are still there, then you need to use that initially. But later on, you have to go beyond all this, because all this is no point. Because like I say, when the spiritual faculty is there, you sit. Immediately you go in aware, silent, relaxed. There is no more thinking. You have the hindrance, no more. Spiritual faculty there, the mental hindrance cease to be. Then you are already silent. Then later on you realize you lie down, more peaceful. That's why the meditation is lie down, relax, aware, silent. No need to know. Let the thought arise. Keep on arising. Then after a while, you will slow down. Until nothing. Then what happens is, if you already know that all this method, technique, system of meditation is all thought-based, leading to the creation of more sankhara and delusion, then why can't you just put them all aside? That is not meditation to me. Meditation, like Brother Teo said, relax, aware. Can I do that? Then try to sustain the awareness for as long as this nature can. Means, no reaction of mind, no chattering, no conditioning mind to tell you to do this and do that. You are not active, not creating any more thought. You just relax and aware. He said, it's only when you are silent, extremely silent, is it, that the sacred, eternal life, or you they call it the what they call the enlightened, it's not a state, no. The enlightenment type of energy, that pure energy can slowly come in. That is the state that is beyond thought, beyond mind. Then later on, this energy also ceases. Still. Not only mentally, perfectly still. Extremely quiet, still. Physically also, extremely quiet and still. That is the real meditative mind. That is the one that can awaken you. And you don't have to be greedy, you say, for 2 minutes, enough. Sometimes 1 split second moment of cessation is enough. And that is real meditation. And it's so simple. Why can't you do it? Just relax and aware. And trust. Let the nature do. Don't involve the thought. Don't go and direct. Don't go and even focus or do anything. Just silent, relax, and let that nature do. That it will slow down. That it will do everything. Because this vibration of my nature, if you listen attentively and relax, it can activate the gateway. That's how it can lead you to realize this very fast. And this is direct pointing to the silent mind, that nature. This is what Huineng's teaching is all about. The Platform Sutta. Okay, the Sunday class that we are sharing. So all this will become very clear. When you understand, then you do. The moment you do, you become very different. You will become very different. And you will progress very fast. So now you know, meditate is not to do things anymore. No? Without the meditation, just relax, aware, and let the consciousness. Then sometimes it will go into the unconscious, like that day who, Miss Lee, I think. He cannot understand. He went into the unconscious. Then he want to ask me, you know, but you right, yeah? Correct? What must I do? I say, well, as long as you continue to do that, you are not investigating. It's so easy, right? Like Krishnamurti say, all this is so easy to understand, right? When you put your mind to it. When you are truthful, sincere, want to investigate, when you no longer depend on authority, this is where the thing come in. Depend on authority means what? Brother Teo understand ma? He went through already ma? He is our so-called teacher in inverted comma. So anything I don't know, I ask him. This is depending on people, understand or not? Depending on authority means what? You cease to inquire. You cease to search. You cease to understand yourself. Like the Buddha said, he can only show you the way. You have to realize it yourself through your own investigative silence. That's why I tell her to go to the whiteboard and you write it down. So what did she write down? The mind went blank. Blank off. Blank off means what? He cannot understand what I tell him, her. No. I say, write down there. Blank off means what? She just write the word blank. Then I say, dash. He also put the wrong thing. Means what? Didn't write the means what? He go and put a question mark. I say, follow simple instruction. Write down the word. Blank means what? Oh, then only, because so fearful up there, I don't know, trying to understand what I say, but not focusing, I don't know, not attentive, I don't know, because worry. Scared brother to say wrong. I don't know, trying to interpret me. When you have fear, worry, anxiety, how can you be attentive? How can you listen? What is the art of listening? When there is no chattering, no comparing with your thought, not trying to know, not with fear. Without all this background, you are beautiful because you have clarity. That's why you just listen. Oh, blank means what? So wrote down the word. Then later on, she write down, blank means what? Then someone need answer, no? Need me to tell her, no? Means unconscious. Definitely, you are not aware already. You are. Not aware means what? Not in the meditative state. You are. Just to be aware is meditation, Krishnamurti said. The awareness of the attention means the attention of inattention is attention. You understand, no? The awareness that is aware of your inability to be aware of your heedlessness is awareness itself. But that moment you are aware that you are not aware. That is awareness. Why you going to worry about the lack of awareness? Then you know what the thought want to do after that? The thought come in again. And you must maintain awareness. You die already. Because the thought want to maintain awareness. And you go and believe the thought and try to be mindful there. That trying is the thought. That's why you die. You are not meditating. If it is heedless, let it run because it has not stabilized. It has not got the understanding. It's still doing the old way, habitual tendency. You only need to be aware that you are doing that. Understand or not? Like Anapanasati. Wonder of already, bring it back. Wonder of already, bring it back. Maintain awareness until it does not run. You are not trying to be aware. You're just aware that you are not aware. Then you relax again, silent. Let things be. Let it be. Then it will happen. But if you want to be aware, what happens? The thought is forcing yourself and there is stress. There is attachment. There is craving. There is actively doing meditation. How can awareness be there? The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Why can't you just relax and silent and let it be? Sankara will arise. Cease. They say, don't give it any more mental energy. It will cease to be. Then everything will slow down, like I said. Then all of a sudden, you will experience a shift in consciousness. Like suddenly, very quiet. It's like the vibration from the background, the sankara, all suddenly disappear. But you are not feeding it anymore. Then you realize, hey, that is so beautiful. All of a sudden, you are so silent, so still. But don't get excited. Because the moment you're excited, the thought come out. Then it's gone again. So all this is meditative understanding. That's why you don't ask, you don't discuss, you can never learn. Just now that part of authority you saw, yeah? Because you depend on somebody to explain to you, that is authority. If you believe I'm the teacher, I know. Brother Teo Show no lah. Then you die. You never learn. That's why I say, don't quote me. Don't everything also, Brother Teo, right or wrong, correct. Then what must I do? If you let that type of mentality, you sure cannot progress. Understand? What is investigation? Assume I don't know. You and me, we together explore. I don't know. That's why he say blank off. Then he don't want to investigate. That's why she cannot understand. Then when I point out to her, blank off means what? Means unconscious. Unconscious means what? Not aware. Not aware means what? Not in the meditative state. Then? Don't go and panic. Don't go and force yourself to be aware. Yeah? There is the thought coming in again. So of course the next question is, you want to know, what must I do? You find out yourself in the meditation, otherwise how can you learn? Every time you come, Brother Teo, what must I do? You in the meditation go and pray, Brother Teo, please advise me, what must I do? You cannot be doing that all the time. I can explain to you like the Buddha said, I can show you the way. But you have to realize this yourself. You have to find out how it can be silent on its own when you are not deluded by all this. When you are not believing what people say, when you are not depending on Brother Teo even to tell you what to do. That is what your awareness is all about. It will come in and investigate. Because you are not depending on anything. You don't have authority. It means you stand alone in your investigation. Understand? Nobody can help you anymore. Even Brother Teo is still around, it can only point out to you. You have to finally do the investigation yourself. You have to finally eat the food yourself. Understand? Otherwise, you remain hungry. You have to realize the awakening and the understanding of this state which is beyond thought, beyond mind yourself. Nobody can do it for you. So what can you do? That's why I say, you must meditate with understanding. Understanding means what? When I relax, aware, lie down, I tend to sleep. Cannot. Because you are not skillful. You have not developed this training. It is not a practice, understand? It's a training. that you go through a process of learn. That's how you learn. You investigate. You observe. Then from the observation, you correct yourself. You straighten your view. You don't go and repeat all this foolish doing. You become very mindful of thought. Whenever a thought is active, there is this movement. You know what is the movement of thought, isn't it? Huh? Whatever that thought creates is a movement. Wanting to know, seeking, knowledge, memory, all these emotions, these are movement of thought. Recalling through memory, these are all the movement of thought. Understand? What did the Buddha say? What did the holy book say? What did the monk say? All these are movement of thought, recalling. And this one is your habitual tendency, because you depend on authority. You are not confident of yourself. You are not investigating. You are not finding out through your own understanding. That's why meditation is about silence, to investigate, to understand, and to awaken. Then when you come out of that, you will understand. No need word. Then whatever you say, those who have gone through, they will also understand. Yeah, these are without words. And then you can understand all my words, those who went through, once they are connected. Yeah, it comes from the silent mind. As long as you don't have the silent mind, you will find it very difficult to understand what I say. Okay? The Sakrishamoti knows, maybe in the future, one or two, they can understand this. So, meditation is always with understanding. Ayo, so fast, 10:30 already. We didn't cover even one stanza. But today I'm very good. You must actually attentively listen. We should thank me. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. She is the one that really want to ask, which is very good. Then you learn. Otherwise, you cannot learn. Then when you learn, other people also learn. So, yeah, they are shy. Every time you got question, look down the floor. That's why you must participate and make it active so that you investigate together. We can develop this understanding together. Because now the condition is there for all this important understanding to go in. The consciousness has evolved. It has become very different. That's why my nature can feel that this era, there are beings who can have this condition. So this teaching, or slowly, slowly, they are coming out. But still, not that many. But you already can count your good karma, your good blessing, to have this condition to understand all this teaching. Well, this will shorten your evolution. This can even trigger off the awakening, this life, this segment. And it's very easy, not difficult. That's why you must have a confidence. Then strive on with heedfulness to cultivate, means to develop all this yourself. Not to cultivate mindfulness and all those things, not all those foolish things. To cultivate means to develop the understanding, to investigate on your own, to slowly, slowly go into all this through an understanding. Then you will become very different. Okay? Yeah. So now you know how to meditate, huh? No more like last time. Well, all this need explanation. Otherwise, it's a very thin line. Understand? Because you are so used to using thought. The thought process is like an instrument that you have been using so often. Without thought, it's like you cannot live life. Without thought, sometimes a lot of people, what you mean? No thought. You don't need thought. Those who together with me meditate last time during the early 80s. Even after 1989, my nature have developed this understanding. So sometimes together, we all together, we have this discussion group, together with the Singapore KC and them. Then when they ask about all this, of course they got a lot of theory, a lot of this about enlightenment and all those things. Then what happened was, when they come to my turn, because they ask me, I say, I don't know. I don't do all this. I just relax, I was silent. Then the mind ceased. They ask me, you know, what you mean mind ceased? I say, no thought. He said, you crazy. No thought. How can no thought? But 20 years later, he don't say this already. But this guy also, I think, he also tried to come and come out to share with people. Then he realized what I told him. He has not done it at that time. Later on, I don't know. So, a lot of things, before you have that ability to comprehend or realize, you can never understand because you use the field of thought. And when you are actively with the thought, when people tell you, there can be a state that is without thought, beyond thought, and you can live just with awareness, with the moment, throughout the day. Krishnamurti also confirmed that. Throughout the day, every moment, you are aware, heedful. He didn't use the word heedful, but he said, you are living the life of awareness. You have order of every movement, every action, every thought process. You are not confused. You don't have fear. You are attentively silent, the living life. Then they will not be able to comprehend you, because without thought to them it's like impossible to live life. Even now I ask most of you, where you seldom have a space between thought that can allow you to be in that silence, especially in daily life. Before your mundane mind collapse, it's very difficult, I tell you. But after your mundane mind collapse, it's very easy. Most of the time you are without thought. You just aware. Even while I share and talk to you, I don't have movement up here. It's all from here. Come on. Okay? That's why I can simultaneously saw all your movement, everything, all of phenomena. The background got nothing, just the nature share. Then this awareness is all the time there. So how to explain to people? Cannot. So no need to explain. Your people cannot understand. Not time yet means not time yet. But now it's different, because I realize now people can understand. No, I don't know why. The last few weeks sharing is very different. Like maybe when I was in Wu Ping Jing Se, I realized, you go and check one of the talk, I think it's Wu Ping Jing Se. I say, it's not the physically who are present that can understand. It's the non-physical one that has the ability to understand. That's why this sharing can come out. And the question, everything that lead to all this is because there were conditions for it to come out already. Then all these Krishnamurti videos are very funny. Recently only it come out. I also don't know where it come from. Suddenly appear on my computer. Then I clicked on it. Well, then I saw all this coming out. Then now I know the link already. That's why whenever I got free time, I click on it. Then I will listen to one video. And this video is very good about meditation. I try to send it out. 57 minutes you listen. It's very beautiful. But you have to be very patient with him. Yeah, he's very old already. When he speaks that time, he's very slow. Then he is very serious, although he's slow. But he know people cannot follow him. No. He got to slow down. He keep on asking one, are you with me? Can you follow what I'm trying to share with you? And all those things. That's why you have to listen attentively. And when he mentioned that art of listening, all those things, I was so joyful, because that was how I listened, without the background, without the conditioning. I assume I don't know anything, I just listen. Then when I listen, I realize he understands. Otherwise he cannot say all those things. And it's so beautiful because a lot of things that he said, my nature went through before. And have that understanding. But there are certain things that I cannot put into words. Because he come up with some of these words because he was ahead of me by many, many years. That's why he come up with his words. But sometimes his word is more for the modern society. That's why I have to combine with the Buddha Dhamma. Then it come out very differently, clear. Otherwise very difficult, because his one is very, very, I should say very dry. Dry in the sense that it's unconventional, understand? Nobody teach meditation like that one. No method, no technique, no system, nothing. No believers, no authority, no teacher. Also. Because he saw the danger of authority. And so, like you all, every time want to ask, Brother Teo, is this correct? What must I? And this is depending on someone, depending on authority. Where you believe, you don't know. You believe another person who is more famous or can teach, no. Or you believe the one with the rope? No. That is what authority is all about. And it limits you from investigating. It limits you from further understanding. So now, like the Buddha said, you are the Buddha. You have the Buddha nature. You have the capacity to be the Buddha. Why you lower yourself with so such a low self-esteem? Thinking that you don't know, other people know. You have that nature. That can also realize. So trust yourself, have faith. Okay? Yeah. Okay, we do the sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We do the sharing of merits. Then after that, we can transfer merits. Pali, chan. Akasata cha bumatha devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva Chirang rakan tu loka sasana ita wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Ipmina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.